Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Shepherded them
and guided them with his skillful hand.
He commanded the skies above
and opened the doors of heaven.
He rained down on them manna to eat
and gave them the grain of heaven.
Man ate of the bread of the angels.
He sent them food in abundance.
Amen. merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in the Apostles' Tide is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meal to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, and you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was in the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord.
The eyes of all look to you. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom.
And tell of your power.
To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds.
And the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words.
And kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling.
And raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you.
And you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand.
You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways.
And kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him.
He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord preserves all who love him.
But all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh bless his holy name forever.
forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The eyes of all look to you.
And you give them their food in due season.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the fourth chapter. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But grace was given to each of you, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower places of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the bread, head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On the next day, after feeding the 5,000, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading, especially these two verses. When the crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is our text. In our gospel reading, it's the day after the feeding of the 5,000. For us, it's been 2 weeks. But do you remember how hungry the people were? Do you remember how Jesus took the loaves and the fish and looked up to heaven and blessed them? Do you remember how everyone ate and was completely satisfied? Well, that was so yesterday. Contentment doesn't last long. There's always a day after. There's always the next day. There's always tomorrow. Hunger, need, desire, they don't take a day off. So the people did what you would expect them to do on the next day. They woke up, they discovered that it was about time for breakfast, and they went looking for Jesus. It shouldn't have been too difficult to find him. They did the math in their heads. They knew that the night before there had only been one boat on the seaside and that the disciples had taken that boat across the water. Jesus had remained behind. And yet, when they look around for Jesus, they can't find him. He couldn't have gone too far. He's got to be here somewhere, doesn't he? And did I mention that they were hungry? When they still couldn't find Jesus, they scratched their heads, and since other boats had shown up, they hopped in those boats, and they crossed over to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And they found him there. They did ask him, when did you come here? Meaning, when and where and how did you get over here across the sea? We know the rest of that story, which they didn't know, because we heard it last Sunday. How Jesus, when he saw the winds against the disciples, walked across on the water to meet them. Jesus doesn't have a particularly friendly greeting when these people find him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Jesus knows why they're there. Jesus knows what they're seeking. They want a God who caters to their needs, to their desires. They want a God who will give them what they want, not what he wants. They enjoyed the bread, and now they want more. One thing we didn't read, but John does tell us earlier in chapter 6, is that they were so pleased with the bread that Jesus gave them that they were ready to make him king by force. Vote for him, he will give you bread. There's a contrast going on here. There's the contrast that Jesus identifies between what we want God to do for us and what God chooses to do when he works in our lives. A contrast between what we want God to do for us and what God chooses to do when he works in our lives. We tend to think of our consumer culture as being a more recent phenomenon, and maybe it is, but it strikes me that this is human nature all the way back. Our culture and our nature teach us to be consumers. We expect others to fill our needs. We treat all of life this way. We treat stores this way. We treat restaurants this way. We treat the government this way. We treat our schools this way. And yes, sometimes we even treat our churches and Jesus this way. Our advertising also reinforces this. Have it your way. Get it the way you want it. All of those sorts of things lead us to think that Jesus has come to give us what we want rather than to work in our lives in the way that he wants. As if Jesus were a vending machine or a fast food menu and we can pick what we want off that menu. They came seeking Jesus. And I dare say that you are here seeking Jesus. And you are here seeking Jesus because Jesus has much to give and also because you have needs in your own life. What is it that you are looking for from Jesus today? Is it help dealing with the pain that you have? Is it help finding or keeping that job that you need? Are you seeking from Jesus some assistance with your marriage, which is troubled, or your relationships, which are struggling? What is it that you are seeking from Jesus? Because they came seeking many things from him. Maybe you're struggling with daily bread and putting food on your table, and you are seeking that from him. You know that Jesus has come to give many things that are good. And so Jesus said to them, he said, "You came seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus describes what he did in the feeding of the 5,000 as a sign. And this is the way I often think of the signs in the scriptures, in the way we think of signs in our life today. If you were driving toward Boston and you wanted to see or bring a family member or friend to visit Boston, and you saw the sign that said, "Welcome to Boston," you stopped and took a picture and turned around, you haven't really been to Boston. The sign isn't there to say you have it all when you stop at the sign. The sign is there to point you further and deeper to the thing that is greater. Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000 not simply, although he did have compassion on the people and wanted them to be fed, but it wasn't simply to meet their physical need. Jesus isn't one going around just giving food and moving on to give food to the next ones. He gives them that food as a sign that is meant to point them to something greater, to himself. They're content with the bread. And I dare say it seems to me that for these people, if you had simply supplied them with enough bread, they might eventually decide they don't need Jesus at all. I wonder in our own lives sometimes if it would be that way. If Jesus actually answered those needs and desires that we have and filled all of them, would we then focus even more on Jesus and who he is and what he gives? Or would we think that we're good enough now that we don't need him any longer? "Do not work for the food that perishes," Jesus says, "but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." There are two kinds of food that Jesus identifies here. There is the food that perishes. And yes, we need that kind of food as well. We have modern conveniences to make sure it doesn't perish as quickly as it used to. But there is another completely different kind of food that we need as well. The food that endures to eternal life. And Jesus tells us where this food is to be found, which the Son of Man will give to you, because the Father has set his seal on that one. I can't help but hearing in those words the Father's seal and stamp of approval over Jesus and all that he has come to do. From his baptism in the Jordan River with sinners, all the way to his bearing the sin of the world on the cross. This has the Father's stamp of approval. The people go on and ask, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus said, "The work of God is this, very simple, that you believe in him whom he has sent." What is the work of God? The work that he desires, expects, even demands from us, but this one thing, that we believe in the one whom he has sent. But there's a sort of double meaning here that Jesus has to this, because he's not simply saying, now go and do the work of believing. Jesus is saying, this is God's work in you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. We gather here today not simply to figure out what the work of God is that we must do, but so that God can do this work in us again and again and again, creating and strengthening and renewing this faith, that we would believe in the one whom he has sent. Not just in the bread that he gives, not just in the relief from pain or sickness, not just in the help for our relationships, not just in providing us with daily work, but that we would believe in him. The sign points us to Jesus. When God does provide for you in your life, when God does something that serves you or meets your daily need, even if it's in a normal, everyday, non-miraculous fashion, when God does that, see that as a sign, and let that sign draw you to Christ. When you are satisfied and happy, don't simply kick up your feet and think that life is good, but instead look at the one who has given you everything that you have. But there's a division that happens here. Jesus makes very clear what they should be seeking from him. And yet they are skeptical and they question. For they go on and say, so, you want to talk about signs, Jesus? What sign are you going to do that we can see and believe? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it said, he gave them bread from heaven. So Jesus, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplying those for thousands, that's impressive. But do you remember what Moses did when God rained down bread from heaven? And Jesus said, it wasn't Moses who did that. It was the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They've been seeking bread. And Jesus says, I've got a greater bread for you. A bread that has come down from heaven. A bread that gives life to the world. A bread that you eat of it and will not perish, but will have life eternal. It is the one whom God has sent from heaven. He brings you life. Jesus invites them, he invites us, to stop looking only at what he gives and to live by looking to him instead. Jesus invites them and us to stop looking at what he gives and to live by looking to him instead. And you know, he whets their appetites here. They said, sir, give us this bread always. This bread that comes from heaven. This bread that gives life. Give that bread to us. And now Jesus brings it home. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus is saying, stop looking around for the bread. I have come, and I am here, and I am the bread of life. He turns their attention away from simply what he gives to who he is. Again, I think that we often come to Jesus looking for what he gives, and we're not wrong to do so. But let our eyes be turned off of the what again to the who. Here is the bread of life. Here is the Son who has come down from heaven. Here is the one who gives life to the world. Yes, he has given them bread, but he has so much more to offer. He is the true bread of life. What matters is not where we're going to find tomorrow's meal. What matters is this relationship that we have with Jesus, that he creates and sustains in us as he meets us here in his word and in his sacraments. And you know, regardless of what we have or what we don't have, when we have Jesus, we have everything we need. We have it all. Jesus hasn't come to give you less. He has come to give you more. and he looks at everything, including you, with eternity in view. When Jesus said these things, and we'll hear this in 2 weeks, some of the people walked away. Some of the people couldn't stomach it. Some of the people couldn't stand or handle what Jesus was offering in giving them himself. But for those who followed Jesus, they would see him as he would give himself most fully and completely. Not simply by feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Those who followed him would see what Jesus would do and where he would go to give life to the world. For our Lord was headed to the cross. The bread of life that came down from heaven is the bread that was broken there on the cross. The bread that gives life is the bread that was planted in the ground and on the third day rose again. The bread from heaven is the bread that comes to you now today on this altar where Jesus offers you not this thing or that thing to meet this need or that need, but where Jesus offers you everything in himself. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. He offers you not less than what you've been hoping and seeking, but he offers you more. More bread? The bread of life, who is Jesus himself. May he nourish and strengthen you now through this gift of his word and of his sacrament. And may he turn you simply from the what to the who, that you would have all of it in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world.
Gracious Heavenly Father, you provided for the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness to the land you had promised. Give us confidence to trust in you and to look to your hand to provide all we need for this life and for the life to come. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, your Son has established the office of the ministry that your people might be equipped to serve and be built up into his one body. Remember in your compassion all who speak your word. Give them faithfulness and honesty in their teaching, that we, your children, would be freed from all deceit to speak your truth to one another in love, growing up in every way into Christ. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant us true unity in the faith. Preserve us in pure doctrine. Grant harmony in our congregation, district, and synod. And bestow on us hearts of charity that explain what we see and hear in the kindest way. In the same way, look with mercy on all who are suffering in the church throughout the world.
Grant to them your help and your peace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Sustain them through every trial and loss, and do not allow the evil one to steal away those who know and love you. Especially we pray for our brothers and sisters who struggle in Haiti and Sudan. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, enable us to walk in humility, gentleness, and patience, so that we bear with one another in love and eagerly maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Bless our homes and families, and bless especially Carly, Liz, Casey, Stephanie, and Annie, giving to them good health and strength in their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, grant your protection to those whose lives and property are endangered by wildfires, and give to those who fight the fire courage and skill, keeping them safe as well. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you establish civil government to be a blessing. To your mercy, then, we commend our President, our Congress, our justices and magistrates, and all who serve the public in any way. Keep them honest, fill them with wisdom, and uphold them in every good deed. Grant peace, we pray, as well throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, restraining the warfare and strife, and granting help in every time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Show your mercy to the sick and weak, especially to Amara, Alyssa, and Shelley, for strength to meet the new medical challenges facing them. To Charlie, for continued healing and recovery from his accident. To Sienna, Rosemarie, Paul, Kimberly, Audrey, Rose, Nancy Jane, and Eric, providing for each according to their needs. Grant peace and hope to Destiny, Heather, and all who mourn. In the midst of things that we do not understand, grant peace and hope under the arms of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, you gave your people Israel manna to sustain them in the wilderness. By your grace, you now provide the living bread from heaven, the very body of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that endures to eternal life. Lead us to your table with thankful and contrite hearts, that we receive his precious body and blood for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in this ever-changing world, help us to know in you that which is eternal. Give us confidence in the suffering and death of Christ, that we may rejoice that you are with us always and await his joyous appearing with all the saints. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 34, starting at the first verse. Of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out, and he went away. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I will bless the Lord all my times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. Those who took to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.